Andrea, welcome to Game Changers.
Thank you.
Now, you are one of Australia's only female CIOs of a technology company. Mm. You must see yourself as a bit of a role model.
I'd never thought I was, but having been in the role now for a number of years, I look around and I do think, where are all the other women? Where are all the females?
And where are they?
And there's just a real shortage of women in IT and technology, which is a real shame.
So tell us a little bit about iCentia and what it actually does.
So iCentia is a media monitoring company, and basically what that means is that we take information and news from across varying countries, about 18 countries, multiple languages, and we filter that and disseminate it to what is important to our clients and what are the leading issues that they need to focus on.
Huge job.
Yes, yes. On an average day, there's about 7 million news items that we're processing. So
sifting through, wow. Mm. That is a big job, lots of information to get through. So what does your role as CIO involve?
So I lead the technology team. So we are responsible for all the systems and the technology that processes those 7 million items a day. And we also provide all of the services for our clients and the tools for them to be able to do their job each day.
Why do you think there is a lack of women in IT roles?
I think it stems from multiple issues, I think, through education. So I don't think that girls are encouraged to take up sciences and engineering when they're younger. It's very much seen as it's for the boys. So I think it starts really early on. And then I also think that women don't put themselves forward necessarily for opportunities and roles to retrain and maybe see, I might be interested, but unless I'm absolutely sure, I'm not going to give it a go.
Well, even you yourself, you didn't think that that technology and IT was something for girls. And
yeah.
you actually had a very, I guess, a chance meeting with a woman who was doing wonderful things in the industry.
She was. And she made me realise that it was possible. And so after I finished that course, I then decided to go straight into doing my degree in IT. And I've not looked back. I've spent the whole career in IT and I love it.
You are quoted as saying that we're on the cusp of a technological revolution. What are you most excited about?
There is so much. I think that's what's exciting. I think with cloud technology, that's enabled a lot of organizations to be able to experiment with technologies. And I think that there's an incredible amount of work and progression around things like artificial intelligence. Mm. So looking at machine learning, and I think it will really shape future roles and jobs. So it's very exciting.
You're really passionate, which I love, about women moving up in the industry. Mm. And in particular, girls learning how to code. For someone who's not as technologically advanced as you, perhaps, explain to me what coding actually is.
Coding, I see coding quite in a very simplistic form. It's basically creating something using computers and technology. Sometimes, yes, it has to be or can be, you know, detailed lines of programming. But some of the tools that are available, especially to young children who are interested in coding, you know, you don't need to get into the real details of programming. You can pick objects, and it enables kids to build stories and cartoons and make videos.
Is it like a language, a computer language?
Yeah.
Coding?
Yeah, it is. But it's just a real enabler. As I say, you can... you can use different tools. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to have gone to university and learned how to program and before you can even start building something yourself. There's lots of tools out there that can help kids and adults get started in building their own programs.
The number of girls studying, as you said, STEM before, which is science, technology, engineering and mathematics, it is slowly increasing, which is brilliant.
Slowly.
But it's not at a rate of the boys just yet.
No. Certainly not. And I think that it is great that it is slowly increasing, but it's got a considerable way to go. If I look even in my own team where I am at the moment, we're nowhere near the level of number of females that I'd like to see in my own team as well.
Well, how do we change that? What do we do?
I think, again, it goes back to the education. It's encouraging girls and young children to get involved in these subjects. And I also think that they have maybe a branding or an image issue. It, you know, engineering is often, and IT is often seen as it's for the boys. And it's hard as a young girl, if you join maybe one of these code camp, for example, who run programs for young children in school holidays, if you go there and you're the only girl in a room full of 20, 25 boys, it can be quite off-putting. Mm. And I think it's also about the parents and the carers. So often we teach our children when they come home about, you know, doing their homework and reading, writing, maths. But what about the children who want to learn technology and they want to learn to code? And if the parents aren't in IT, how do they support them? So I think it's really about, as I say, the education, but then also about the parents and finding these great programs that are out there to give the kids the opportunity.
Your daughter is 8.
Yes.
And she's already taken an interest. Do you think that is something that was instinctive in her or something that you have nurtured and encouraged?
A bit of both, to be honest. When I first I first showed her the iPad, she just took to it instantly. It was quite amazing to experience. And we certainly encourage her to use it. There's so many educational programs for children that you can use on the iPad. So I'm a big advocate of it. Last week she put together, it wasn't coding, but it was on PowerPoint slide. She was doing a subject at school about healthy eating. And so she opened up a laptop and PowerPoint, picked her scenes, and then she went and researched all the images and put together a PowerPoint slide and sent it to a teacher. I could not imagine doing that as a child. I don't know where to begin.
In high school, was using an electronic typewriter to type up my assignments, and kids are using these PowerPoint slides and all the rest of it. It does bring up that other thing as well, because I have a little boy who's 18 months and he's very savvy when it comes to tech already. He goes up to the television and tries to swipe it like an iPad. But I do kind of worry that, you know, we're introducing this technology to kids too early, because there's been research that shows that it's actually changing the chemistry of the brain. Mm. When should we be introducing this sort of stuff to our kids? Because as a parent, you sort of think to yourself, I don't want my kids to have their heads in technology all the time, but at the same time, you don't want to hold them back, because that's the future.
Mm. I think it's each individual parent's choice. For our daughter Charlotte, we introduced it quite early on, so it was before kindergarten, but we're very strict with her, both from what she can do on this or what content she can see, and also how long she spends on there, because the last thing we want is to build a relationship and the communication is with the back of an iPad all of the time. So we are quite strict on how long she has.
Just recently, there was a new study released showing that that high school students are struggling with oral exams because they've always got their heads in phones and texting or whatever. Mm. What advice would you give to those parents who are perhaps battling teenagers or kids that don't look up from their devices?
Again, I think it's personal choice for the parents, but I think really restricting the use of the iPad. For Charlotte, it's very much about she earns the usage time, so to speak. So, you know, if she completes her homework or she's done her chores, then she will get 20 minutes or half an hour on the iPad. It's never for hours and hours, so. But it is a struggle. It really is.
And you have to educate yourself as a parent as well, don't you? You need to know how to use the technology.
Oh, yes, yes. If I need iPad support, I can talk to my daughter. And I'm going in IT.
Going to her for advice, and she's 8. I love it. IT is a well-paying field, but there is still a gender pay gap when it comes to technology, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
How big is it?
There is quite, there's lots of different research. It can be quite varied. Where I work at iCentia, we pay the market rate and we pay on skills regardless of gender. But it is a known issue within many industries and with many organisations, and it's something that we need to address. It's a very difficult one to address, though, with gender, with unconscious bias and things like that. But yes, definitely something we need to tackle.
What advice then would you give to women that you mentor?
I would say seek every opportunity. Just go for it. What can you lose at the end of the day? If you go for an opportunity and you don't get it, then okay, you keep trying, but at least that you went for it and you put yourself forward. I think work with other areas of the business as well. Get to know the business and the industry in which you work, not just technology or whatever particular department it is. And again, look for those opportunities. Do things that are maybe potentially outside of your remit so you can learn and grow from them.
Sheryl Sandberg said to lean in. Do you think more women need to lean in, particularly when it comes to tech?
Definitely. Absolutely. I think that there is, and in many of the different disciplines and fields, that women are less reluctant to push themselves forward unless they're absolutely sure that they're going to be able to do this and they're going to be able to do it absolutely perfectly and succeed. And I think it's just something, it's okay to fail. So give it a go.
You are a trailblazer and a game changer. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.